when disaster strikes. Will you be ready?
Good evening, and we begin tonight with the monster hurricane and its deadly impact already.
When all hope is gone, will the government be there for you? If you're looking for ways to take your prepping to the next level, then you've come to the right place. Broadcasting from a secure and well-prepared location, it's time for Prepping 2.0. And now, please welcome authors Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher.
Welcome, everyone. This is Shelby Gallagher. And unfortunately, or fortunately, I don't know, we'll see how the show goes. You just get me and our guest this week. Glenn is out of town. He's had a family emergency, so thoughts and prayers to him this week. But I think we'll have a decent show. I mean, we may not have his humor and we may not have his levity, but we're going to make it good. So this week, our guest will be this week, Beth Warford, who is the founder of Pretty Loaded. We're going to have a great conversation about women's self-defense and situational awareness and good stuff like that. But I always like to go through our first kind of updates and things like that going on. First of all, I want to welcome KHNC out of Colorado. I'm so excited about this new radio station that has taken us on here at Prepping 2.0. And I have a just warm spot in my heart. As many of you know, if you've read my first book, I have deep roots in the state of Colorado and love having you with us. So welcome. That I believe they are a fourth or fifth station that have picked us up, which is great. So one of the things that Glenn and I always go through is the first 100 things that will disappear in a collapse. You can find this at our website at prepping2-0.com. We try to go through this list every week, and it's a list based upon those who survived the Bosnian collapse and had to kind of hunker down and figure out a way to survive. The next one is cook stoves, kerosene, your Coleman stoves, anything like that. Here's one thing, and all of you who know me, the whole couponing thing world that I live in, this time of year as summer starts up, those sorts of things are really easy to get on sale. This is backpacking season. This is camping season. Cook stoves, little tiny propane stoves, propane canisters that go and fuel those stoves, get them and look for the deals on them. This is the time of year to get them. So that's the next one on the list. And then I am a moment of the week. What is that? That's the I miss a moment. I miss America moment of the week. We always, Glenn and I always try to think up and look for those moments where we, in the headlines typically, where we read and go, remember when we were younger and this would have been an atrocity. This would have not ever happened. This would have been shocking. And now it's normal and it's not American. And so this week, I'm going to just say what it is because I'd really like for Glenn to talk about it next week because it's his I Miss America moment. But I want to get it into our thinking is that as far as I know, at this point of recording in time, there are now 10 states in the United States who are refusing on one level or another to put the current president, Donald Trump, on the 2020 presidential ballot. The last time that happened in any meaningful way was at the beginning of our first Civil War. And it's one of those moments where Glenn and I sit back. Now, I will tell you this, it lit his hair on fire, and that says a lot because he doesn't have very much of it. But and I hear my guest giggling in the background. But it's one of those moments where you look around and go, I miss America. We have 10 states so far that are so resistant, so antagonistic that they can't just follow the process of letting the American people choose their president. I also want to point out in the when this last happened, it was because Abraham Lincoln was on the ballot, was a presidential nominee, and several states, I can't remember how many, we can go look it up, did not want Abraham Lincoln on the ballot. And so there were several states that didn't, and he still won. So there's indicators there that the people will still speak up. And I miss America. So we'll talk about that again next week because I really want Glenn to be able to weigh in on that. So,
what's in the merch shack?
Merch moment of the week. That is where we talk to you about what's in our merch shack. I encourage you to go to our websites, either 299days.com or agreatstate.com. Check out the cool 30-round AR mags that we are selling. We still have quite a few left. encourage you to take a look at that and join us. And especially right now in this day and age, it's very difficult to think about maybe not having those mags available. So get them while you can. So I want to introduce our guest. After all that, I love having this moment, this episode with her today, Beth Warford, who is the, and I hope I'm saying that right, she's the founder, CEO, brainchild behind the great organization Pretty Loaded. Welcome, Beth.
Hi, Shelby.
Welcome. It's so good to have you.
I'm really excited to be here.
Well, good. So I want to, just really quick, Beth and I was just talking to her offline. You were so awesome. She took a chance on me a couple years ago by having me on her podcast before my first book even came out. And we had been talking about chapter three in book one has become kind of the pivotal moment where people feel it in their gut. And it talks about the sexual assault. And let me just stop right there before we go any further, Beth. And you and I are very sensitive to this. This is going to be an adult-ish, mature conversation. It's not going to be shameful. It's not going to be embarrassing. It's not going to be disrespectful. But this is not for young children. So, Beth, do you want to add to that at all?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I really enjoyed our interview. And I thought you writing about your experience is so empowering because when that event happened to you in college, most people in high school or college, they don't ever think about anything bad really happening to them. And I think most people don't have any self-defense or personal training. And when something terrible happens, 90% of people freeze if they don't have the correct mindset. And I think you writing about your experience is just going to open so many young girls' eyes and empower them to feel that they know they should know how to protect their life.
Awesome. And so, yeah, so going back, that was really great because you took a chance on me. We talked about it in like our first interview. Gosh, it was like 2 years ago. And then we had a really great interview. It was so awesome. Last summer, I want to say August, it's posted on my website under podcast and reviews. It's on your YouTube page. And that's where, honestly, if you are listening, if you want to hear like the gritty, like gory details, but like my feelings, my thoughts in the midst of that, that's a great place to go. Yeah. So I want to thank you for taking a chance on me and thank you for, this is to me, it's almost like a little homecoming here, which is great. Tell listeners here, Pretty Loaded. There's a lot of people out there that don't know about it. There's a lot of people that do. Tell us about Pretty Loaded and what was your inspiration for it?
Well, my inspiration to start Pretty Loaded happened after I was almost assaulted. I was in public at 10 a.m. On a Saturday, and I was with my two daughters, and like I said, I was almost assaulted. I froze. I froze in that moment. I actually had my concealed carry. I had a gun on me, and I had lots of, you know, handgun training, but I didn't have any training in martial arts or criminals or anything like that. But that event absolutely changed my life. Someone came to my rescue, thankfully. And so I really started to research self-defense, and I found handguns and martial arts. And both of those are excellent. But I thought there has to be proactive self-defense, right? There has to be something. So I started to research criminals and how they get their victims, who they target. I read every possible book on self-defense, Secret Service. I mean, I spent thousands and thousands of hours. I stumbled upon situational awareness, you know, just paying attention to your surroundings. Body language is 90% of all communication. So if you can read body language, you can absolutely tell if someone is about to assault you or not. I found all these interesting things. And I thought, oh my goodness, I mean, a lot of this is mindset. A lot of this is knowing how these predators operate. And I thought, I'm going to start a company. And at the time, I had four children under the age of six. And I was running my husband's, just the finances for his practice. I was extremely busy, but something just called me and inspired me to start this company. And I would wake up at 4 a.m. and I would just work and work on it. And I started teaching at a sporting store to a room full of 10. And then I realized the best way to inspire people is through video. So I started producing videos and my videos went viral. And then it just kind of has spiraled since then.
Very cool. So how long has it been around?
Since 2014.
Oh, very good. Very, very cool.
Yeah.
So I think it's so cool. So tell me a little bit, the situation, I know what you're talking about because I have not taken your courses or your videos. I will fully admit that. But in some ways, I feel like I have because I'm the same way. When I'm in public, I carry myself very assertively. My mm-hmm. eyes are always looking around who's behind me, who's in front of me, where are the exits, who is acting squirrely, who isn't. So just give us, if you can give us just a couple little bullet points on that situational awareness. Because, and then you watch people sitting at bus stops with, you know, looking at their phone and they've got a crazy person right next to them in their personal space and they don't even notice. Yeah. I mean, things like that. Yeah.
It's just, first of all, our phones have caused, it's easy for predators to get people because they're constantly on their phones nowadays. Mm-hmm. But so situational awareness, really just paying attention to your surroundings, looking ahead, looking behind, you know, noticing anything that is out of place. I teach in my classes that people that loiter, and I'm absolutely going to tell you this, I teach my students to profile. We don't profile on color, we profile on body language, and we profile on who has time to hang out. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. When's the last time you had time, Shelby, to just hang out at Walmart and watch people, you know? And so there's some really weird, you know, things that, and then also we talk about intuition. Intuition now is the highest form of intelligence, and it's being studied like mad. So you really, really have to trust your intuition. Whenever something seems off or wrong, you absolutely have to go with that. And they're also doing research right now. They're showing pictures of people and they set up this like this big campaign, not campaign, but research. And they ask individuals, is this a criminal or not? And they can pick out criminals just based on their micro expressions on their face. Like, they can't tell what kind of criminal they are, but they can tell if they're a criminal or not. And so what it shows is that if you can choose a book by its cover. Like, you can look at somebody and be like, whoa, that's a bad person. And so the biggest thing really is body language. Humans are just like animals. So you can't go from having a relaxed, you know, crossing your legs and very you know, just comfortable state to attacking somebody. You have to stare at people. First, the human body will stare at their target. So if you notice somebody staring at you for longer than, you know, 2 to 3 seconds, especially if it's a stranger, that's unusual. Clenching their hands, clenching their jaw, they have to physically get ready, you know, so you can see all of that coming. But you just, and then the other thing we teach a lot more than this, but predator tactics, you know, so the first thing is they target you. Do you look like a victim? So all these criminals have reported who they attack, and they've done tons of research on violent criminals as well. And they attack people that have little or no eye contact, people that walk slow, people that look like they just, you know, they don't have much confidence at all. So what this is saying, and all these predators, they admit it, they go for the weakest, easiest target. So don't be that person ever.
Very cool. And here's the thing, I will say this because and you can talk about this too, in all the little ways you and I, this is the way we conduct ourselves, there are probably once or twice a week where I stare down somebody, where I, you know, kind of puff my chest out because I can tell somebody is looking at me for too long. Yeah. They are giving me that look. And just by me straightening my back and taking a bit of a more offensive stance, mm-hmm. Suddenly they're walking away.
Yeah.
It's these little mental battles that you have with people. Yeah, talk about that. I think that's so interesting.
Well, it's absolutely fascinating. And I won't go into this too much, but when I was a child, my best friend's mother was murdered in the house behind ours, and we lived in a small town in North Dakota, and this person went on to murder three more people. And so at the age of 8, I felt very afraid in my own home. Back then, my parents didn't talk about it. I didn't see her anymore, but we broke into the home, and I saw the blood on the carpet. My friend told me how his mom begged for her life, and she was shot in the head. And so since the age of 8, I've always had this very heightened sense of fear, like extreme fear. And when I met my husband, he's like, you are out of control. Like, you are really scared. But my intuition, you know, would always help me and get out of situations. But so I've been targeted more than a few times, and it's because I've had really weak eye contact, but I've gotten myself out of the situation where I've run away. And now it's interesting. I can see the creepiest person staring at me or my children, which is even worse, and I can give them the look, not today, dude. I see you. I know exactly who you are. And they turn and they go the other way.
Yep.
And it is so empowering to not be afraid anymore because, you know, I always go to Maslow's hierarchy of needs, right? Pyramid, that's everything. I mean, I think most people know about that, but food and water on the bottom tier, and then the next level is safety and security. If you don't feel safe and secure, excuse me, you will never be your best self. You will never get to self-actualization, which is your best self. You're helping other people. You're changing the world. And I know so many people just through this business that do not feel safe. And that's not a healthy way to live life at all.
No, not at all. Awesome. So I'm going to expand this a little bit because a lot of people who listen to our show, thank you, all you wonderful listeners out there. And I've had feedback on this from some of the women preppers out there that listen to us, and we love them. I think in the prepping community, this is just a stereotype, not a stereotype. This is just a generalization, maybe a stereotype. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Women in the prepping community, yes, we typically are armed. We typically know our firearms more than the average person. But we also, I think, have a false sense of security in that, hey, we're part of the prepping community. The men will take care of us. And I've heard that more than once. And what it is that they know what firearms are. They know how to use them.
Mm-hmm.
But they also don't practice with them. They don't practice their situational awareness. They're like, oh, he'll take care of me, right? And I think that, yes, men are warriors. I get that. But I'm sitting right here right now without my man in my life. And what if somebody comes through this door right now, right? They're not always going to be with you. So talk to us about that. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Being safe means preventing the violence, not reacting to violence, right? So you can't, your husband is not always at home or whoever is in your life protecting you is not always with you 100% of the time. I will give you a true story. We moved out to the country. We had a moving company move all of our stuff out. They saw how little our children were. They saw me. I don't physically look tough. I mean, you would not guess that I know firearms like I know, and you probably would not guess that I'm, you know, carrying a gun on me or anything like that. So I think these guys were really sizing me up, sizing the children up. We didn't have a garage on at the time, so our vehicle was gone. I was home and a car pulled up and I happened to be upstairs looking down, and this guy kept ringing the doorbell, and there was a man laying in the back of the car, a guy in the driver's seat. And then the guy ran around to the back of the house. They were about to break into our house and burglarize us. And let me tell you, at that point, I had my Glock with a huge magazine on. I was shaking like crazy. I was so nervous. I wasn't close to our alarm system. But, you know, we're 30 minutes away from town, so it's going to take forever for anybody to get to us. Mm-hmm. And so I made it very clear that I was armed, and they tore out of there. But to this day, I mean, had I not been armed, I'm pretty sure they would have somehow broken in the back door. And, you know, I have four children. I mean, I will not let anyone do anything violent to my children or myself. And I think my husband, John, he's always instilled that in me, that I'm not always going to be here when I'm driving to town. It's just me and the girls. And like I said, it's a half an hour drive. And so you need to know how to protect yourself, because what price would you pay if you're in that situation and your husband's not there and you're like, oh my gosh, what do I do? And then something happens to you, and you know the emotional trauma is terrible. So I really think it's great to show your children as well that you can take care of yourself too. And John and I have a different way of kind of standing up to people. I know one time we were at a gas station in Colorado, and this shady car comes flying in, and the guy jumps out. He looks like he's on meth, and he's searching through the garbage cans. I mean, who does that, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm like, John, get in the car, get in the car. And he's like, I'm not going to get in the car. I'm armed. I'm like, well, why would you want to shoot somebody? He's like, because I don't need to leave my position, you know? And my thought was just get in the car, lock the doors, let's drive away, you know? So everybody has their own set of what they think safe is for them. But anyway, the guy did not even come close to John because he saw John and he saw how my husband was just staring him down and, you know, he took off.
Well, and you just hit on it too. I think we as preppers, whether you're, especially because we tend to find our way out into the country because we don't want all the crime that's in the cities.
Yeah.
I have felt it a couple times now that I live out in the boonies a little bit. Mm-hmm. It would be really easy for somebody to pull up and commit a crime and have an incredible amount of time and opportunity if I let them, because you can scream and yell and nobody's going to hear you. And response time is incredibly large. So yes, you are in those situations, you are your first responder. You're it until, you know, the 30, 40 minutes it takes for the call to go from the alarm company to 911, 911 to the most closest law enforcement. And then that person to get to your, I mean, that's a long time. Then the other thing, and you can talk about this. We have a couple minutes. Then in the cities, you know more about this. You scream for help. People just think it's a car alarm going off, right? It's just, oh, someone's making noise.
Right. And the other thing is that everybody thinks that someone else is going to help them. And the thing is, the average encounter is over in 9 seconds. And the police department, even in town, is like 10 to 15 minutes away. Mm-hmm. So you have to be your first responder. And because of what I do, I have so many testimonials of women and teenagers that tell me that they have been raped in a parking garage, in a parking lot, in the middle where people have been walking by. I mean, you would not believe some of the things. You know, people always think, well, there's others around. They will help me. But that's not the case all the time.
No, in fact, I think it's unusual. That's when it makes the headlines. Oh, look, this Good Samaritan came and helped this person being, you know, assaulted in some way. Yeah,
right.
That's why it made the news, because it's unusual, not because it's, I mean, it's awesome, yes, but it's unusual because, and I've heard that before too, where it's, you can scream help, a crime can be happening right in front of you, and most people don't want to become involved for whatever reason, which is crazy. So, well, we have like another minute or so, minute and a half. Do you want to, what else have we not covered here that you think is important? And just this part of where preppers, especially prepper women, mm-hmm. Where do we have any like blind spots, do you think?
I like people that are just prepared in general, because, you know, I think the one thing, everybody has to get out of denial a little bit to become their best self, because nobody wants to think about getting cancer or losing their job or being violently attacked. But you need to think about those hard, hard subjects. You know what I mean? Because until you think about if it happened to you and how you would react, you can't prepare for anything. And I think mindset is like 95% of your safety. And, you know, nobody wants to think about the power grid going down either. But guess what? The government's not going to come out and feed my family and give us water and keep us warm. And when you start to think about those things, you just live a better life. You're not paranoid, but you're just living a really good, wholesome life. And you're ready to help your family, and you can support your family. That's such a good feeling. And you can support your extended family and friends if you have to.
Absolutely. And I will say this, as someone who has kind of been like what we talked about, that carefree life is ahead of me, I have nothing to worry about being attacked then, and then taking on the mindset, when have I been the most unafraid is now.
Exactly.
Am I going to put myself in a dangerous situation? Nope. But I know I can walk safely and I can defend myself, and I can 90% of the time I can just kind of stare somebody down and they're going to go find somebody else. That's awesome. So let's take a quick break. Don't go away. We have so much more to talk about with Beth.
We'll be right back with more of Prepping 2.0 with authors Shelby Gallagher and Glenn Tate right after this.
The Operator G1 is a full-featured rugged comm solution designed for the Midland MXT 100 and 105. Designed and manufactured in the USA, the Operator is an all-in-one support platform for two-way wireless communication for civilians. Using the GMRS bands, there is no ham license required and no test needed for operation. Ideal for preppers, hunters, homesteaders, ranchers, and people just like you. waterproof when closed, this rugged system houses the Midland radio, microphone, and antenna, providing an always-ready, always-charged grab-and-go solution for emergencies or events, as well as an ideal solution for a base station or vehicle use. Powered by a 60 Ah internal battery, the operator recharges quickly and easily using the supplied AC charger, the internal solar controller, or directly from a vehicle. If you recognize the value of wireless communication with or without grid power, the Operator G1 is an award-winning solution that allows simple, one-button communication when it counts. Our two-year warranty, quality materials, and first-class assembly technicians deliver a high-value solution when you need to be sure you can get your comms up. To learn more, go online to portableuniversalpower.com.
Hi, this is Glenn Tate. I wanted to let you know about the ammo supply place that I go to. There's no endorsements. Nobody's paying me anything. They're just good guys. Ammo Supply Warehouse. Ammo Supply Warehouse. Butch out there will take care of you. You know, prepping 1.0 is getting ammunition by the box. Prepping 2.0 is getting a case. You need to have at least a case of ammo for every gun.
Shelby Gallagher here. For all the ladies out there, you can never have enough ammo.
PrepperNet, where preppers unite. Looking to meet other like-minded people in your area? Looking to start your own prepper group? Already have a group? Join PrepperNet.com. PrepperNet has gathered the biggest names in the industry to help unite preppers everywhere. Join John Jacob Schmidt, Scott Hunt, Dr. Bones and Nurse Amy, Glenn Tate, Shelby Gallagher, Charlie Hogwood, Samuel Culper, Survivor Jane, Rick Austin, Franklin Horton, Ryan Mitchell, and Brian Duff. Our team is united. Check us out at PrepperNet. .com. PrepperNet, where preppers unite. PrepperNet.com.
And we're back with more of Prepping 2.0 with authors Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Shelby Gallagher, joined today by my awesome guest, the founder of a great organization out there called Pretty Loaded. We just got talking about, before the break, preppers, the prepper community that we have all kind of become, and prepping 2.0 being kind of taking your preparations to the next level, not just beans, rice, and firearms, but making that more enriched, making it more more rich and not just single focused. So it's awesome having Beth with us today, and she just opened up through a very fortuitous kind of event, Pretty Loaded in Germany. And I think that's really interesting. And please stick with us. Even though this isn't American focused, I think there's a lot of applications for those of us who live in the United States. So tell us about that, Beth. How did that all come about?
Yeah, well, it came about Christian, who lives in Germany, bought my online training, and he contacted me and he said, this is the best proactive personal, you know, safety training I have ever taken. And he said, would you be interested in having me be an affiliate instructor in Germany? Because, in, you know, it's not a direct translation from my English to German. And I really researched this guy. I mean, he's got quite the history. He works for huge headquarters over in Germany. And so we trained him in. He told us that since the immigrants have come into Germany, the increase in rape and assault is up by 33%.
Okay. And so let me stop you right there.
You're right.
Since 2015, roughly.
Yes.
Rape is up by 33%. And again, these
rape
aren't
and
just
assault. Yeah.
Rape and assault. Not, and these aren't just things like someone's breaking into your home. These are in public, many of them, mm-hmm. and out in the open. These,
right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I wanted to stop and let that sink in. Go ahead.
Right. And I remember when it first started happening, it was in 2015, it was all over the news. And since then, he said that they really, you know, they've really tried to cover it up in the media. Mm-hmm. So his mission is, you know, to work with people and just empower them with training. He said over in Germany, they really don't have this proactive self-defense. They are not allowed to carry firearms. And so they really don't know how to protect themselves. So I'm so excited to be over there.
So let's talk about that a little bit, because again, this is where that translates over into America. They're not allowed to conceal carry. You cannot, a law-abiding citizen in other words, a non-felon, blah, 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 all of those, check out all your legal terms you want there. An average citizen is not allowed to carry a firearm. So those of you who are pro-Second Amendment, which all of us are, obviously Beth is too, and we're watching, even with a conservative-ish president, these rights being eroded and being not just eroded, but like washed away in a hurricane sort of rights coming, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's why this is important, because you can walk down the street and have awful things happen to you, and you are going to be in a gunfight with nothing but your fists, and that's not a fair fight. So, right. So, and as a result of that, as a result of not having the mindset that you have when you carry a firearm, you now don't have the mindset of, oh, I need to be carry myself defensively. So it's not just the eroding of the rights, it's the eroding of how to carry ourselves. Would you agree with that?
I would agree 100%. And Christian said the same thing. He said they don't even think about being attacked over there. You know, it's very interesting to me. But obviously now they do, because they're very concerned about it. It's happening. So
Let me ask you this. How has the response been? Is it growing like leaps and bounds kind of thing? Or is it
we just opened it up last month. So he presents to organizations mostly. And so it just literally started last month. So we're kind of seeing how it's going right now. We're monitoring things.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
So do you think, and I'm kind of putting you on the spot here, do you think, because these waves of caravans that were allowed to make, you know, these huge caravans of not just immigrants, but we know, I'm not being an awful person by saying this, but the caravans of people, remember this back in 2014, 15, Europe, some European countries, many European countries opened up their doors to caravans of people. People came in, and in those big groups came people who did not have a good civic mindset.
Right.
They were not law-abiding people. They came in for the sheer intent of creating crime and for really, I'm going to just say it, terrorizing the countries that they were going into. And so do you think that Pretty Loaded is going to find itself in other countries? Are you hoping? I hope
yes.
So.
Yeah. I think it will. I currently sell my online training to a ton of countries all over. And when you look at my analytics, almost every country except for some places in Africa are not viewing our site. So our safety training is used all over the world. I mean, it's needed. Violence is everywhere. And yes, I see us possibly in India. I just recently donated some training to a wonderful organization that takes in orphaned children and abused children, and they put them back into the world. And they just gave their training to a bunch of girls that are going to college, and they're going into a city of, I think it was 9 million. And so they didn't know how to protect themselves. And so they watched my training and they absolutely loved it. They learned a ton. And the next place that they're going to be giving my training is Mexico. So I'm excited. I definitely want to see this all over.
Love it. Well, and again, I know I'm putting you on the spot, but if you know me enough and you've read my books enough, you know that one of my biggest concerns and one of the reasons that I wrote what I wrote was the concern for human trafficking.
Yes.
Because right now human trafficking is already a huge problem. Even in the United States, even in pristine conditions, we live in pristine conditions in the United States compared to other countries.
Right.
Problem now, it will become tenfold of a problem during a collapse. How do we know? We look at other countries, look at Venezuela, Bosnia. Mm-hmm. Women became a bartering tool. They barter their bodies when they start running out of food. They barter their children's bodies and they sell their children. That's what happens. I'm just saying it.
Yes. Yeah.
So what are your thoughts on that, and how does Pretty Loaded fit into that?
I think Pretty Loaded's mission is, you know, just to empower lives that you you have one life and you want to live the life of your dreams. You don't want some thug to come in and turn it into a nightmare. And one of the reasons I create a lot of these videos, I have a child video walking home from school for that exact reason, because over 70% of children that are abducted are taken by a car and very much, you know, either assaulted or raped, or taken into human trafficking. And I feel it's very disturbing because I think people are going into getting out of selling drugs and going into human trafficking because if they get caught with human trafficking, they don't have to serve as much time in jail as if they do with drugs. But it's a real problem, and I think, you know, I think people are finally opening their eyes and they're finally seeing it. But I really feel like we need to do more with that.
Wow. Well, and I think it's all just part of the preparedness mindset.
Yeah.
If we're prepared in all of the things that we store up. We're also prepared in if we have to make those decisions. And if we're prepared, we don't have to. We won't be that woman, you know. And it's the tragedy that I hear, that I've read about, that comes out, you know, that comes out of Venezuela, is you have women who are scientists, women who are teachers, women who are professionals just 10 years ago, mm-hmm. who are now selling themselves because they're hungry. Well, if you've done your preparations for your food preps and figured that out,
right,
you've got that covered, but you also have yourself protected for when, you know, the criminal mindset, even more so, that's run amok in countries like that, you're prepared. I think it's just all part of the same mindset. So,
absolutely. Yeah. And I just feel like I said again, it's when people are in denial. They don't want to think about those bad things. But you know, those people in denial have fear in the very back of their mind, mm-hmm. you know, and a fear of, you know, I have friends too that don't think about the power grid going down or, you know, everything is awesome, you know, that awesome song. But it's not a good place to be because they tell me, oh my gosh, I'm just so nervous. I'm so anxious. And they always bring it up. And I'm like, well, do something about it, you know? Yeah. Don't always have that continued anxiety lingering. Just do something about it. It will make you feel so much better and you can sleep at night.
Yep, absolutely. So, okay, and I was hoping we'd get a chance to talk about this because, and we have, gosh, we have a lot of time. We have like 15 minutes. So
awesome.
I know. The kind of one of the new criminal avenues, I guess, that I'm seeing in the news a little bit, not a lot. Mm-hmm. I think you and I would both agree, though, Beth, the media doesn't always report the news and doesn't always report it accurately. So
right.
Whatever, that doesn't mean it didn't happen, right? Ask the people in Germany.
Right.
I'm going to say Uber, but there's more than Uber. What is that? Just on-demand transportation?
Yeah.
What do you want to call it?
Rideshare.
Rideshare. Thank you.
Rideshare. Yeah.
Whatever company, I don't want to just pick on Uber, and I don't want
and
it.
Lyft, Uber and Lyft, yeah. Mm-hmm.
People being assaulted by those drivers. Now, just because I want to be really cool, this is Lyft and Uber have a problem, and I'm sure they know it, and they're trying to solve it. But what it is, what I've seen is in the news, again, questionable, so that's why I'm coming to you and asking for clarification. Drivers who are appearing to be drivers and maybe not drivers, or they're hacking into the app or whatever. Mm-hmm. And women are getting raped. And I've had fans reach out to me going, oh my gosh, my niece was almost just raped in Seattle. My daughter ran for her life from an Uber driver in Chicago. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on that? And what can we tell our daughters, our nieces, who knows, anybody in our life who, first of all, wants to take rideshare because it's an economical way to get around cities. But what are your thoughts on that?
Well, here's what I do know about predators. Predators will hang out where they can get their victims. Okay. So predators are very, very smart. They're opportunistic. And so think about it. I mean, there's predators in almost all areas, but you know, whether it's, you know, teachers being predators because they're, I'm not saying all teachers, but the teachers who have students, or clergy, or, you know, pastors or wherever, you know, so there's just opportunity there. So a lot of the times predators will go where they can get their victims easy. And having said that, taking people in your car and driving them is perfect. Now, I do know this, that the top reason for being raped or assaulted is usually that the woman is drunk. I mean, that's happened in the past. That's not always the case. And the woman is usually alone. I created a video for this because I think it is a massive problem. Yeah. And what I suggest in my video, don't ever sit next to the driver because they can physically grab you. Don't sit where you should sit in the car is directly behind the driver. And I researched this because Uber and Lyft drivers are often assaulted as well by the passengers. And where they least like the passenger to be is directly behind them. And so if your Lyft driver, your Uber driver is doing something shady and they're not taking you to the right place, well, you pretty much have control over them if you're directly behind them. You know what I mean? I mean, if you had to choke the person, you could. I mean, you could do whatever you had to do, you know, to get out. But so I have a video and all the things. You absolutely must act assertive, strong eye contact, get off your phone. There's so many things that you can do. And they can feel, you know, they can feel that you're onto them and they're probably not going to attack you. Also, always check the child lock on your door. Those child locks can be flipped. I think you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, always make sure that is not on so you can get out of your door whenever you need to.
Awesome. And then it's also, I was just thinking, this is me in my situation. When I'm sitting directly behind the driver, I can see their eyes in the rearview mirror.
Yeah.
And that speaks a lot. If they're continuing looking back at me and they're sizing me up and they're not talking and being chatty and suddenly we're taking turns that we shouldn't because the app will tell you where to go, you know what
I mean? Right.
Next stop, I'm out. I don't get out. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And so there's just this group of women, and it's interesting. I'm very conservative, but I would have never, maybe that's I Miss America part. Mm-hmm. I would have never drank too much and like jumped in a car with a complete stranger all by myself or even with my friend. I mean, that's part of safety too. I really talk about if you're all alone, you are at more risk of being a target than if you are with somebody. And when I was in college, I was always with my girlfriends and somebody always had to stay sober, you know, to keep the other ones safe. But it's just different nowadays how it seems like people or young girls or young college girls will go to a bar and get drunk and go with a stranger. So,
yep. That's funny you should bring that up. So here's what's funny about me. And this is what people get to hear about this. This is the reason why Shelby is a lightweight. The reason why Shelby is a lightweight is for these are the facts and truth that she came up with when she was in college. This is before I was assaulted because I kept watching my girlfriends go off to frat parties and, you know, they'd wake up in dumpsters. And you know, seriously, it happened that long ago.
Wow.
And luckily, none of my friends got assaulted, not that I know of, but I just remember thinking, my word, this is, you could fall drunk on a road and get run over. I mean, my word, you are so, I mean, this is college.
Right.
I get it.
Right. Right.
And I'm conservative on top. This is why Shelby doesn't, this is Shelby's rules for drinking. So, and I'm, you know, no longer in college. It still holds, which is why when I drink a glass of wine, I become silly because I don't drink very often. This is why. I do not go somewhere in a car with someone that I don't trust my life to. Mm-hmm. So that would be my husband. Is that my kids? Not necessarily. My kids aren't super, you know, there's kids. Friends, they're going to look out for themselves before they look out for me. Who am I willing to get into a car with and go drinking with that has my life? They take my life pretty serious. That's pretty much me and my husband.
Yeah.
Okay. So if I'm going to go to a party, to an event or whatever, and there's wine and drinks and whatever, am I going to drink? No, because I'm the driver. So all those drunk driving things worked on me. I don't want to get pulled over, all of that. So I don't drink. Or if I do, it's like right at the beginning of the evening and I'm leaving 4 hours later, which doesn't happen. You know, the opportunity for this to happen is shrinking very quickly. So when I do drink, I typically, I joke, I drink at home in a closet. You know what I mean? That's it. So that's why when I have a glass of wine, I become silly Shelby because I don't drink that often because my guidelines for drinking have my safety in mind first before anything else. And as soon as, and I know this, when you drink, and I'm just saying this because I know for many of us, this is obvious, but it needs to be said because it's not obvious. It keeps happening. Your inhibitions are down. Everybody becomes your friend.
Right.
You become silly and it's party and it's jovial. And your ability to physically respond back if you need to with strength and with wisdom and with intent.
Yeah.
Greatly diminished. And if you're just, if you're in college and you're just stupid stumbling drunk, you're done. You will, you have, and your ability to remember and your ability to be a good witness on a stand and all of that is just compromised. So anything you want to add to that? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Dave Grossman, a huge fan of his, he has three categories of people, the sheepdog, and the wolf, right? We all know the sheep is the person that is unprepared, can't take care of himself. The sheepdog is like you and me, police officers, people that are looking out for others, protectors, and then the wolf, evil people. I actually came up with a fourth category, and it's the drunken goat.
Yeah.
because you, I mean, you can kind of be a sheepdog, but if you drink too much, all that stuff goes away, just like you said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's huge. And again, luckily I didn't become one of, you know, just kind of the silly sorority girl in college or anything like that. But man, several of my friends, I have had to get, you know, make a pot of coffee and get them sobered up and ask them, are you okay? Because I need to figure out what happened the night before at whatever party they went to. So, and that's, you know, again, that happens in college, but it happens as adults. You and I have been to parties where you're like, wow, that person really changes when they've had two glasses of wine. I mean, how many times have we said that to about adults?
Right. Yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah. I'm fortunate that I just don't think it's wise to make those decisions even in college because, you know, I did have friends that were sexually assaulted and it changes your life. It absolutely changes your life and it's not worth it. You're worth so much more than that. And that's a whole nother topic, but.
Yes. Well, very good. Well, we have a few more minutes. Trying to think of what else we can talk about. We talked about how to protect yourself in an Uber driver situation. I know this, you have so many resources out there that, and you have a huge fan base, but where can people reach you and what sort of things can they find? What sort of trainings do you have available? Just tell us all about the Pretty Loaded universe. Yeah.
Okay. They can reach us at prettyloaded.org. And then for Germany, it's prettyloaded.de. And we have a YouTube page, which I'm very excited. We're about to reach 20 million views on YouTube. And it's very exciting for me because, you know, before I didn't even know. When I launched these videos, I didn't watch YouTube. When I started Pretty Loaded, I didn't even know how to use Facebook. I'm going to be honest. I did not even, I didn't have an account. So you can reach us on Facebook. And then we have a lot of blogs on our homepage. We have a lot of free videos on our website as well. And then I offer online training. I also go in and speak to corporations because corporations have wellness training that they need to do. And everybody knows that sitting is the new smoking and they know all about yoga and you're supposed to be healthy. So we have kind of become popular because there is not much training like this out there. So it's very, very proactive self-defense, very empowering. I have also developed an online training for learning management systems. So that's sold to corporations because sometimes they have 5,000, 10,000 employees and they need to teach them safety. And then this, they can put in their learning management system and it tracks. They have to watch the whole training and they have to pass the quiz at the very end. And I'm finding there are a lot of companies out there that their employees don't feel safe, you know, and whether it's park rangers or oil workers, electrical workers, they're going to, you know, housing authorities, they're going into these areas that are very dangerous and their employees don't know how to respond. They don't know how to, you know, they either respond the wrong way by pulling a firearm when they shouldn't have, or they get physically assaulted. And so they're feeling afraid and they're losing employees left and right. So personal safety is becoming a huge thing right now. And so, so I guess those are the areas where you can reach us.
Oh, very good. And so I'm excited. I'm excited for people to reach out and do that. So I will say this, and we can be a little jokingly snarky here. I did an interview with you. It was last August, and I have it. It's on your YouTube channel. You have to go look for it because and we'll talk about why it's not going to be easily found. And we talked about, and it was a mature discussion about what it's like to be assaulted and your mindset before and after. And we had a really good talk about before and after, and I almost don't remember it in the sense of what specific, but we really talked about that assault that's in that chapter 3 of book 1. Mm-hmm. And how it, and like what you just said, it changes you. You learn to morph yourself into the new normal and the new grid that has been put before you. But there's hope after that. And we had a really good discussion about that. And I think it's a discussion really only you and I could have. And you put it on YouTube. And what happened after you put it on YouTube, Beth?
Well, our YouTube channel is monetized. And so all my videos have the green light. You know, they'll put advertising on there, and then I can get paid, you know, for the advertising. But they put a yellow light on that particular podcast, and it said it is not for most not what am I looking for the word most audiences should not view this. And so YouTube is they've been a great supporter. I get 2 to 7 million impressions a month, but they will not put that video out there for me. And I have to admit, there was not. We didn't talk badly about anything. Mm-hmm. You know, we talked more about if things collapse and what will happen and how you need to protect yourself. And we talked about what happened to you, but we were not real graphic or anything with that. So I'm a little bit shocked that that happened there. So,
But if you want to listen to it, you can go look for it on your YouTube channel. I have a link for it on my page under podcasts and review. You have to go back a little bit because it was last August. But my goodness, it's always great to talk to you, Beth. We only have a few more seconds. Thank you so much. Yeah. Again, really quick, people can reach you at, if I recall, prettyloaded.org.
Right.
Very good. And I encourage, for those of you who just want some extra training, mindset training, go check it out. Check out Beth. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Shelby. I loved being on your show.
Awesome. So I always like to leave people with a really, I rushed through this too much. I would take a moment and just say it carefully. From Benjamin Franklin, one of our great founding fathers, failing to prepare is preparing to fail. Wish you all a great week. Come back next week.
You've been listening to Prepping 2.0 with authors Shelby Gallagher and Glenn Tate. All of the fun and easy prepping information heard on this podcast can be found online at prepping2-0.com. You can also find out more about Glenn's books online at 299days.com and about Shelby's books online at agreatstate.com. Until next time, be smart, be safe, and be prepared.
Was that the end?